that's what we're going to win this battle, because while you try and quote the Bible, Jeff Sessions and others, you really don't know the Bible. God is on our side.
Hello?
Podcast of verbal narcissism for ugly journalists.
Hello, can I talk to Mr. David? Dave Allman?
Approach and identify.
Hello?
Once again, we've saved civilization as we know it.
And the good news is they're not going to prosecute.
Oh, they might as well have prosecuted me. I felt like Lieutenant Valaris.
Well, they don't arrest people for having feelings.
And it's a good thing, too. If they did, we'd all have to turn ourselves in.
From the packed Northwest studio of the Podcast 99 Network, located in beautiful downtown Silverdale, Washington, this is Plausibly Live, the Dave Bowman Show podcast. Now, here is your host, the submarine-qualified, well-coffeed, rules-driven, elitist history buff, Dave Bowman.
Weapons con, you have permission to fire.
Have permission to fire, con, weapons on.
Well, good morning, good evening, or good afternoon, wherever you are, whatever you do. A lot of things happening in the world today, most of them far beyond our control, you might say. So perhaps it's time we took a pause, thought about life, and thought about the laws of gravity, philosophy, chicken dinners, God, Star Trek VI, the Syrian War, and humanity. Don't touch that dial. Just try to hear me out for a while. Well, it finally happened. We have managed to go back in time to 1859. We've gone to Ireland in the 1980s, England in the late 1500s. It's America, like I said, in the 1850s. The entire world in 2011. It's even stardate 9521.6. Everybody is afraid of exactly the same thing. It's not what you might believe it to be, as well as it is surprisingly simple. But nobody screeching knows what it is either, and believe me, there's one thing that every side says that inflames it even more. Here's how you get a hold of me. Text machine, area code 209-565-DAVE. Email Dave at thedavebowmanshow.com. And, of course, we're on the web, Facebook and Twitter. Just look for The Dave Bowman Show. Eloqui conizio. The greatest enemy of knowledge is not ignorance. It is the illusion of knowledge. Well, I cannot guarantee it today won't go off on a rant. A tangentially assigned rant. I can't guarantee that. There are a few things in this world that really get under my skin. And having watched the events of this weekend, you might think you know what it is, but it isn't. It isn't that at all. It'll become clear what it is. It should be clear if you listen to the intro, but the world today has gone insane. And yet, all it's really done is gone back in time. All we've really done now is go back to the same people we've always been. Dave's first law of history, people don't change. They do the same things for the same reasons with pretty much the same results throughout history. They just convince themselves that this time it'll be different because we have better technology, we're smarter, fill in the blank. Somehow or another, we think we'll get it right. And the people who went before us, well, they won't. You're right. Galileo, the great astronomer, they're talking about Jupiter. I guess NASA's released some new pictures of Jupiter today and the great white spot, which when I was a kid, I know, it's Grandpa Dave again. Back when I was a kid, the great red spot on Jupiter would hold three Earths. In other words, you could take the planet Earth, take it and haul it off to Jupiter and plop it down in the great giant red spot, and three Earths, the entire planet would fit inside. This is how science teachers impressed upon us the size, not just of the great white spot, of the great red spot, but Jupiter as well. Jupiter's huge. Jupiter's gigantic. And yet on a cosmic scale, it's really not. It really isn't. Every planet in our solar system would fit between the Earth and the Moon. It's bizarre. Anyway, the great red spot has been shrinking over the years, and I guess today the big thing now is that only one Earth would fit into it. That's how much it shrunk, and people aren't paying attention to this. They don't realize that, what? Climate change is happening on another planet? How can that be? Is what I wanted to shout, but because I was watching TV. It didn't do any good. But they've released those pictures. Galileo, the great astronomer, used to watch Jupiter. It's how he proved the Copernican model of the solar system, that we were all revolving around the sun, not the Earth, and that the planets were round and the moons were round and all this kind of stuff. And he used his telescope. And for this, he was condemned by the church. We've talked about this briefly before. The church, you know, held a big trial, a big heresy trial, and they made him recant the whole thing. The plot of the, is it the Da Vinci Code? No, it's Angels and Demons. I get them mixed up. They're basically the same movie. I mean, at any rate, one of the plots of those two movies is Galileo writing in his books in code so that the church would not know what he was saying. I think it's Angels and Demons. And of course, the good professor played by Tom Hanks with the beautiful Italian Victoria Veneto, they have to solve the puzzle that Galileo left them 400 years ago because he was mad at the church, because the church hates science. Church didn't hate science per se. The church was afraid of the same thing that Maxine Waters is afraid of. You heard her, right? Out ranting and screaming. I played you 15 seconds of it. I'll do it again just because I feel like torturing people today. Here's Maxine Waters. Here's just 15 seconds of Maxine Waters yesterday or over the weekend. This is from a much longer speech that she gave with a bullhorn. That's why it's hard to kind of understand this. But she had gone on and on and on about Sarah Sanders being booed out of the Red Hen and how they were going to harass people at their homes and no peace, no sleep, none of that stuff. And then she added this.
No peace, no sleep. And guess what? We're going to win this battle because while you try and quote the Bible, Jeff Sessions and others, you really don't know the Bible. God is on our side.
There you go. God's on her side. The whole, she's afraid of the exact same thing the Catholic Church was afraid of 400, 500, 600 years ago. She's afraid of the same thing that caused the conflict between Roman Catholics and Protestants in Ireland. She's afraid of the exact same thing that was in England in the late 1500s when Henry VIII, you know, cut off relationships with the Catholic Church, the Huguenots in France, and even the American Civil War. Now, you may say to yourself, but Dave, none of those things are related. This is a religious argument. That was a slavery real argument. This is a political real argument. No, they're not. At their core, they are not. At their core, they are the exact same thing. And how odd is it that it's Star Trek that once again brings us back to that and pulls us right back into that? Star Trek VI is a great movie. I really enjoy Star Trek. I don't want to get into the arguments about which are the best Star Trek movies, because everybody has their assumptions and their passions about it. But Star Trek VI has actually grown on me through the years. I actually think it might be the second best. You know, Wrath of Khan is always going to win. I'm beginning to think VI might be the second best one. And that's hard for me because I've always had one of the other ones in that position that I adore. But the point being that the whole plot of Star Trek VI, the undiscovered country, is that quote from Shakespeare in Klingon, which I can't speak. And that is, the future is the undiscovered country. We don't know what it's going to be. And yet everyone is terrified of the future. Everyone is terrified of the changing of things. Virtually every conflict we have had in our history and every conflict we have right now isn't because of illegal immigrants. It isn't because of gay flowers. It isn't because of this. It's because one side or the other is terrified of what change might mean. And as a part of that, change, Maxine Waters is terrified that the country might actually re-elect Donald Trump. And so she's doing everything she can to make sure that it happens again because she doesn't learn from history. She's terrified of what that change might mean. And she has convinced herself that only the worst possible outcome can happen. Just like the South did in 1859, they convinced themselves that only the worst possible thing could happen. If Abraham Lincoln is elected in 1860, they're going to take away our slaves. It's the worst thing that could possibly happen. They're going to change everything. The future, nobody knows what it's going to be. We can predict it. You want to have some fun? Go back and read popular science from like the 1930s and 1940s when they start predicting what life is going to be like in 1986. What life is going to be like in 2000. Wasn't that long ago. When was it? 2011. That the entire freaking world was losing its mind about what the future was going to be. Oh my God. There's going to be earthquakes and fires and floods and pestilence and all this kind of stuff. And the Mayan gods are going to come back and take their wreak their vengeance on us. And people believed this. Many people. People who you would otherwise think are reasonably intelligent or stable fell for this nonsense. Because everyone wanted to believe the worst of the future, the worst things could possibly happen. Maxine Waters believes, she actually believes that if Republicans remain in power, black people are going to go back into slavery. She believes that. She believes that if Donald Trump is reelected, it'll be the apocalypse. That the entire country will come crashing down. Just like the South believed that if Abraham Lincoln was elected, the future would change and we would not be safe anymore. And so we had to scream and yell and attack people in Congress, and we had to write articles, and we had to, anybody who disagreed with our viewpoint that the future was bleak if they didn't listen to us and do what we wanted to do had to be destroyed. Maxine Waters is no different than John Calhoun. Boy, that would piss her off to hear that, wouldn't it? She's doing the same exact thing he did. She is using fear of the future. Fear of the worst possible case scenarios to inflame passions and to create arguments and to push people in directions they might not otherwise go. Talk about that lowering of the threshold. You think most people would take it upon themselves? Most normal people, rational people would take it upon themselves to go to anybody's house, let alone, you know, a government official's house and stand outside and scream and yell and bang on. Do you think anybody would do that normally? But now you have a politician encouraging it. You got a politician telling him to do it. You got a politician telling him that not only should they do this, but God is on her side. So they must do it. It's embarrassing in a lot of ways. In some ways, it's kind of funny. I know that sounds strange, but in some ways it kind of is that people are that dumb to fall for this hyperbole. The same way that people fell for the 2012 nonsense. People are spending money buying... They would buy stuff. TV networks, for God's sakes, ran quote unquote documentary specials about it. Oh, this is what could happen. My favorite one is Apocalypse Island, which if you've never seen, and you can't see it now because it's obviously pointless, but Apocalypse Island, and I'm getting off on a tangent here, was a story of an anthropologist, a self-proclaimed anthropologist who wore a hat that looked like Indiana Jones. And at the very beginning, they talk about how he was somewhere in the Marshall or Solomon Islands. What? He didn't know where he was? Because I've never been to the Solomons or the Marshall Islands, but I can pretty much assure you that if you don't know if you're in the Marshall or Solomons, you don't know anything else either. At all. You're sure as hell not an anthropologist, because you can't read a map. At any rate... Because he was in these islands, he stumbled across this carving that he was convinced the Mayans had put there. Now, remember, the Mayans were all the way over there in South America. And if you've looked at a map, you know that the Solomons are in the South Pacific. The Marshalls are in the Central Pacific. So he convinced a friend of his that they were going to go investigate this. And they got a History Channel crew to follow them, quote unquote. And come to find out, they were 300 miles off the coast of Chile, which is nowhere near the Marshalls or Solomons. It's one of the busiest tourist attractions in the entire South Pacific. It's called the Juan Fernandez Islands, specifically Robinson Crusoe Island. And it's got a big city and an airport and everything else. And if you watch this thing, they rent a fishing boat to take them on this perilous journey. And they sail across hundreds of miles of open ocean, 300. And they get to the out that they could have flown to in, what, an hour? But they take this boat across. They make a landing worthy of the United States Marines, okay? And then they hike for 2 days across this island to reach this carving, which is literally 100 feet off of the main tourist hiking path, less than a mile from the major city and airport. And yet people bought into this nonsense. They bought into it. They've sold billions and billions of dollars worth of stuff how to help people get ready for the worst possible thing that could possibly happen in 2012. And what happened? Nothing. 2000. Remember the Y2K bug? Now, you youngsters won't remember that. But once upon a time, we were afraid of the Y2K bug. Hell, it's the whole plot for Office Space, Y2K. All the computers in the world are going to go, how many of them did? Yeah, that's about it. But everybody was convinced that it was going to be the end of the world. The South was convinced that the North was going to take their slave, that Abraham Lincoln personally was going to drive down to each one of their plantations and free the slaves. The Catholics were convinced that if people started believing what the Protestants believed, the church wouldn't have any control. And the Protestants were convinced that if the Catholics believed, if everybody believed like the Catholics, then they wouldn't have any power. And everybody was afraid of what the future might mean, what change might actually mean, without ever understanding that change is inevitable. It's going to happen anyway. And at the same time, it changes normally a whole lot more moderate than people like it to be or think it's going to be anyway. Sure, there's people who want to make radical changes in things. But oddly enough, radical changes kind of get resisted, don't they? People don't want to go quite that far that fast. The pendulum swings way out there and then it swings back the other way because people aren't real happy about that's just too much. Maxine Waters stands there and screeches. Her voice is really annoying to me, which is strange for me to say because I'm sure my voice annoys other people too. But with that bullhorn going on and on and on about how no sleep, no peace. We're going to boo these people out of restaurants. We're going to stand outside their houses. We're going to hound them and harass them because we're afraid of what they might do. That's what it is. We're afraid that they might change something that we don't want changed. But the things we want changed, we're okay with those. And damn those people that resist our calls for change because of the things that we want changed. And you know what? God is on our side. And there you have it. That's the thing that just pisses me off more than anything. And I don't know where it happened, when it happened. I can't put my finger on the moment when, to me, it became so infuriating to hear anybody say, this is what God wants. This is what God thinks. You don't know what God thinks. You've never even seen him or her or it. You've never talked to it. How the hell do you know what God wants? Well, it says so right here in the book. Really? Because that person says it says the opposite of what you say. Why should I listen to you instead of them? You're all full of shit. You're all lying. God is not on your side. God doesn't give a rat's ass about that. If he even exists. And if he does exist, he's laughing. What a bunch of morons these people are. The hell was I thinking when I created this? the end of the day, you don't know any more about what God thinks than you know about what I think or what or I know about what you think. Oh, sure. I've said things, and you can infer from that. Okay, Dave thinks this about that because he said so. But you've got a videotape. You've got an audio tape. You've talked to me in person. And now Maxine Waters is telling me that God is not on Jeff Sessions' side. He's on her side. Look, as much as it pisses me off, I do have a background in faith. I do have I did go to seminary. I have been an ordained pastor in the past. I do study theology over there on my shelf. You can see all the books that I read, and I know what I believe about God. Which, by the way, doesn't match what I'm pretty sure Maxine Waters says about God. So there's that friction in this about why the hell is she invoking God and telling me that, in essence, what she's doing is standing up and telling me that everything that I believe about God is wrong. Well, that's a surefire way to win me over to your side, isn't it? And yet, it's the same thing that's been tried throughout history. We got an entire group of people in this world right now whose entire existence is predicated on the fact that they know what God wants. And they're going to do what they think God has told them to do. And if you don't like it, well, we'll just cut your head off. And they're nothing new. ISIS's entire existence is predicated on the fact that they think they're going to bring around the end of the world, the apocalyptic end and the return of the 12th Imam. It's religious. It's not political. This whole fight in Syria is religious. It's not political. And it's all about change, isn't it? We want to change this to this kind of government, but we're afraid of what you do if you do with that kind of government, so we're going to resist that change. Well, you can't resist that change because God is on our side. Well, that's funny because you're losing. God must not really like you. I always wondered if I had a time machine, you play that game. Where would you go if you had a time machine? One of the places I would go, oddly enough, I would love to go back to April, late April, early May. Like early May, 1, 2, 3, of 1863. In a little place called Culpeper, Virginia. And I would love to sit down with Thomas Jackson. Thomas Jonathan Jackson. And hear him explain to me how God is on his side. He doesn't even go into battle on Sundays. That's how much he believes that God is on his side. When he goes into battle, he keeps his right hand in the air as praise to God, his Father. His men make fun of him because he stops alongside the road to pray to his God because he's so sure that God is on his side. Which, by the way, is the Confederacy. Thomas Stonewall Jackson, who, by the way, is going to be shot by his own men at the Battle of Chancellorsville early in May and die a few days later from gangrene. You wonder if you could talk to somebody like that with the hindsight of history and say, dude, not only are you going to lose, you're going to lose bad. You still think God is on your side? The Nazis, the Germans, invoked God. In World War I, for crying out loud, every monarchy in Europe believed that they were God-ordained. The Kaiser, the King, the French Republic, Austria-Hungary, Russia, all of them believed that God was on their side. You think God cared about any of that? Or did he care about the fact that these insane lunatics were running people over the top of trenches and getting millions killed to gain 6 inches? Do you really think that God was on the side of the South? I'm not saying he was on the side of the North either. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is I'm so tired of people invoking God is on my side as if somehow or another they actually know. They don't know. Not only do they not know, but they know that they're lying to you about it. because God never came to Maxine Waters and said, Maxine, go out there and protest and keep people awake and boo people out of restaurants and impeach the president. He never did that, or she never did that, or it never did that, and it never will. And if you're on the other side saying, well, God told us to do this, you're full of shit too. He didn't. In fact, over and over again, from what I read in scripture, what he told you to do was treat other people the way you want to be treated. That's what he told you to do. That's the greatest commandment, right? One of our leading rabbis, that's what he said. That is the Torah. The rest is commentary. Treat other people the way you want to be treated. Do you think Maxine Waters would be real happy if people showed up at her house banging on pots and pans and screaming and yelling, and if she walked into restaurants, they booed her out? Do you think she'd be real happy about that, or would she be screaming about how God damns them? What do you think would actually happen? Do you think all the people out there cheering for her and listening to her want that to happen to them? I guarantee you they don't. Not one of them wants that. Not one of them would be happy about that. Not one of them wants to be treated that way. But they'll sure cheer when she says, God is on my side. No, he's not. I have my own issues with faith and religion, and I don't really want this to turn into that. I don't really want to get into a debate about, you know, the existence of God or what is God or the validity of scripture or anything like that. I am a man torn with a dichotomy there, because I was raised a person of faith. I went to seminary, became a pastor. I became a church leader. I left it originally unwillingly. But as time has gone by, I have found myself less and less tolerant. There's that word. Of people who make it their business to scare people about what the future might be and use God as their excuse for doing it. Tomorrow isn't going to be like today. It doesn't matter. Tomorrow is not going to be the same as today, and the day after that won't be the same as tomorrow. Change is inevitable. It happens. It's happening on our planet. The great red spot is shrinking. Yellowstone is going to erupt. There is a 100% chance that the supervolcano under Yellowstone is going to erupt. Probably not today. The universe is going to end someday. The sooner you get your head wrapped around those things, the less important people like Maxine Waters, Sarah Sanders Huckabee, become to you. Because the cosmos doesn't care. The volcano doesn't care. The asteroid doesn't care about what you think God says. But if there is a God, he does care about whether or not you're treating people the way you want to be treated. And if you're not, I don't really give a rip what else you believe. Every faith that bases its beliefs in those scriptures believes that. Treat other people the way you want to be treated. And every one of them makes it clear that if you're not, you're the screw up. It's half past. I got to take a break. 209-565-DAVE, 209-565-3283, dave@thedavebowmanshow.com, and at plausiblylive.com. Stay with us, back right after this.
Obesity is a leading cancer risk factor. Overweight and obesity are associated with at least 13 types of cancer. Unfortunately, 2 out of 3 adults in the United States weigh more than recommended. More than half of Americans don't know that overweight and obesity can increase their risk for cancer. Some states and communities provide support that can help people get to and keep a healthy weight. Activities include supporting comprehensive cancer control programs that focus on cancer prevention, education, screening, quality of care, and survivorship, making it easier to choose healthy food options where people live, work, learn, and play, building communities that make it safer and easier for people to be physically active, and partnering with business and civic leaders to make community changes that increase healthy eating and active living. To learn more, visit cdc.gov/vital signs.
This is Betty White. I know you don't need one more thing to worry about, but listen. High blood pressure can cause kidney damage, blindness, heart attack, stroke, and you can have high blood pressure even if you feel all right. 1 in 7 adults has it, but it's easy to get your blood pressure checked, and you can treat it if it is too high. So don't worry about it. Don't ignore it. Just see your doctor and check it out.
For your free booklet, visit the Will Rogers Institute at wrinstitute.org and find us on Facebook and Twitter.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
Science Underground with your host, Anissa Ramirez.
This week, the skinny on fat, an issue that's weighing all of us down. I'm Anissa Ramirez, and this is
Science Underground.
Back in the Stone Age, one of our greatest worries, besides being eaten by predators, was finding something to eat. So the ability to store calories was an advantage. David Katz, a nutrition specialist from Yale University, tells us more.
Because throughout most of human history, calories were scarce and hard to get.
Imagine that you have two groups. One group that can easily store calories and one that can't. When there's lots of food, both groups do well. But when food is rare, the group that can't store calories starves and dies. However, the group that can store extra calories starts to burn them, lives for another day, and passes on those genes to future generations. All of us are descendants of that group that can store extra energy. Fat is for that rainy day, when there isn't any food. Creating fat is not abnormal.
What's abnormal is the rainy day never comes. Essentially, we have Stone Age physiology in a modern all-you-can-eat buffet. It's a bad combination.
That bad combination has given rise to the obesity epidemic in the United States. Over two-thirds of Americans are obese, and that number, along with our waistlines, is expanding. So say that you're eating a ham sandwich. The protein from the meat can build muscle. The vitamins from the lettuce can help body functions, and carbohydrates from the bread can be used for fuel right away or stored as fat. But there's a new ingredient in the modern diet, and that's sugar. Centuries ago, sweet foods were limited to fruits and honey. That's it. Today, sugar is in
pasta sauce and salad dressing and crackers and chips.
And that's more calories. So blame those extra pounds on the fight between the modern diet and our Stone Age bodies. A battle of the bulge indeed. I'm Anissa Ramirez, and this was
Science Underground.
This is the Podcast 99 Internet Radio Network.
Tis Plausibly Live, the Dave Bowman Show, right here on the Podcast 99 Internet Radio Network. Coming up next, Tim Preuss right here on the radio side of things. Making a little bit of a change in the schedule. Normally Tim was at noon, but we're moving him to 11 because he is going to 2 hours next week. I think it's next Monday. So we decided to go ahead and make the shift now so that it would be easier and lead in and all of that. So you can hear Tim coming up next. He's talking about the space service. He has a pretty standard libertarian argument about why the Space Force is a bad idea. The only problem I have with it is that everybody knows that the Space Force should be a Navy, not an Army. So why are they treating it that way? Welcome back. 565-DAVE, 209 565-3283 is the text machine. It's also the voicemail machine if you feel like sending me a voicemail. Somebody did the other day, and I listened to it, and then I went to go back. Because I don't know how you listen to voicemails, but the way I listen to voicemails is I go, oh, I have a voicemail, and click on it, and if it's like something critical, you know, somebody died, your house is on fire. If it's not that, then I just sort of listen to see how long it is, and I don't really pay detailed attention to it. And then I go back and listen to it again and again, and I never got back to the again and again because a crazy weekend. So anyway, there you have it. So I'm on an extended rant here, I guess is the best way to put it. I get really put out by people who explain to me that God told them to do something or is on their side or anything. So as soon as Maxine Waters said that, of course, that just set me off. I wasn't real happy about Jeff Sessions, you know, quoting scriptures. I'm one of those people that I firmly believe in the separation of church and state. I find that most people who belong to religious minorities tend to believe very firmly in the separation of church and state, while people who are members of religious majorities, they tend to not so worry about it, but then they don't need to. But that's why it's there. So anytime politicians or political figures start ranting about what God told them to do, I get freaky about it. It churns in my stomach. And really, you know what this is? You know what Maxine Waters is doing when she says that God is on our side? She's virtue signaling. That's all she's doing. I don't know anything about Maxine Waters. Never met her. I don't even know how old she is. I don't know. Quite frankly, she's from California. I know that. I get her mixed up because there's the nut lady down in Florida. There was a nut in Texas and California. I think Maxine Waters is our California nut. Beyond that, I'll bet you dollars to donuts, though. She hasn't been in the door of the church more than 3 times in the last year. She's no more faithful than anybody else. She's virtue signaling because she knows that if God is on my side, then she doesn't have to actually do anything that God said, which is treat other people the way you want to be treated. And see, it's hard. This is my bigger frustration with politics in general, because politics in general has become, well, they did it first. They're doing it too. They did it worse than we did it. Right? I mean, that's all it is. This whole thing with the red hen. How many times have you already seen on your social media posts? Well, bake a cake, but don't eat a chicken dinner. It's all based on your politics, see? And while there may be some legitimacy to that argument, while that may be a good political debate and discussion, does it really make sense for conservatives and Republicans to go on the Yelp page of the Red Hen and write fake reviews about it being a one? Does it really make sense for people to go on their Facebook page and threaten to burn it down? Do you think that's how God wants you to treat? Do you think God wants that? Do you think that's how you want to be treated? If you made a judgment call for whatever reason, and I'm not going to sit here and defend the Red Hen, nor am I going to criticize the Red Hen. I'm a believer. You know what I believe about the Red Hen? If I was Sarah Huckabee Sanders, you know what I would do? Because she's got money. I don't. I'd open a farm to food fork chicken restaurant across the street. Or I'd buy a Chick-fil-A franchise and put it in across the street. That's what I'd do. Because I believe that if you can do it better than someone else and you don't like the way they're doing it, do it better than they're doing it. Take their business away from them the right way. But see, we live in a society where the government's got to make everything equal. So we're looking around going, well, why isn't the government defending Sarah Sanders from the Red Hen? Why isn't the government defending the gay couple from the baker? Why isn't the government doing this? Instead of doing it ourselves, instead of treating people the way we want to be treated. Instead of saying, well, that place, that business doesn't represent my values. I disagree with them. And so I'm going to shop somewhere else. Might be more inconvenient. Might be might be more expensive, might be lower quality, but you know what? I'm gonna do things the way I want to be treated. But we don't do that, do we? And so this virtue signaling thing, oh, that restaurant is bad. That politician is bad. That politician is good. This person is great. God loves you. Oh, I hate that on Facebook. Please, for the love of God, stop posting that crap. You don't believe it. If you believed it, I wouldn't turn around 10 minutes later and see on your post about how much you hate somebody else or how much you disagree with somebody else. I've been going through my Facebook feed, I can tell you this, and I have, I don't know, 650 friends. And I can tell you, most of you are on mute. Most of you are on silent because of that very thing. Because you bitch about fake news, how the media is fake, and then you turn around and post a meme about Oscar Gruning being George Soros. How can you hate fake news and turn around and do it? I'm not talking about the satire, and I'm not talking about humor. I'm talking about, you know what I'm talking about. Virtue signaling. God's on my side. Well, then good. But that's all I have to do is say that. God's on my side. I don't have to actually do anything that God would tell me to do or want me to do or do it the way my pastor would say. Oh, that I wouldn't want, would I? How many of you have had this experience? You know, I had a religious leader at one point in my life who was, forget that. I'm not even going to tell his story. I'm going to tell you my story. So I'm a brand new pastor. I go into my first church, right? And the territorial finance secretary, the guy that's in charge of all the money for the entire corporation in the southern territory of the United States of the Salvation Army, says to me, Dave, your church, C-O-R-P-S, your tithing is really bad. What do you mean? And he showed me the numbers. He says, see, based on the amount that was tithed last year, the overall pay rate, you know, if this is 10% of what they made, your entire congregation makes about 46 cents an hour, which of course this was 1991. So, you know, that's not right. So I'm a submariner, folks. I'm right out of the Navy. I don't play this political tip tap game. I get up on Sunday morning and I repeat that. And then I show the people the numbers. I put them up on a big slide. It says, what do you want me to do? This is what it says. The most trouble I ever got into with my congregation was over that. They were appalled that I would have the intemperate, whatever the word is, to say that to them. How dare I? People left and never darkened the door again because I dared point this out. Well, isn't that what it says right here? Yeah, cheerful giver, tithing, do what God, follow my commandments. People don't want to hear that. They want to say, God is on my side. They want to hear God loves you. Jesus is happy when you're happy. That's what they want to hear. This is the virtue signaling of things. This is the postings that they make on Facebook that make you feel good. Oh, isn't that cute? Look at that cat. God made that cat. They don't want to hear the actual treat other people the way you want to be treated. They don't want to hear that. The hand of God himself could come down and write on their walls, treat other people the way you want to be treated. And they still wouldn't do it. They would still scream, that guy's going to change things and he's going to make it worse for me. And I can't have that. And they would get them bullhorns and scream and yell and bitch and moan about how unfair things are. And how the past isn't up to my standards. And so since the past wasn't good enough, obviously you want to go back to that. No, I really don't. I get that all the time. Dave, you're an originalist? So you want to go back to slavery? You want to go back to the 1780s? No, that's not what originalist means at all. It never did mean that. You played the man and not the ball, and just decided that's what it meant. But you never asked me what it meant. I doubt seriously there's any pastor in the land that's going to sit down with Maxine Waters and say, Maxine, this is not what Jesus wants. Jesus is not on your side. He's not on anybody's side. Allah is not on your side. He's not on anybody's side. If he was, you'd have to think that by this point, chopping off enough people's heads, that he would have come back by now. He hasn't, so do you redouble your efforts and chop off more people's heads, or do you say, maybe this isn't working? Maybe the idea of a God that needs me to chop people's heads off because he can't do it himself is absurd. Maybe the idea of a God that I believe somewhere in Scripture it says something about establishes all authorities, right? So a God that would put Donald Trump on the presidency, but he's on your side. Well, if he's really on your side, then Donald Trump wouldn't be there, would he? Duh. He's not on anybody's side. That's the conclusion you should be coming to, and stop this ridiculous virtue signaling about how you're doing it right, even though you're doing things that other people wouldn't want to be treated that way. But you're okay doing it because you know what you're doing, because God told you or God allows you or whatever. And not one movement out there or anywhere at this point to go, yeah, maybe we shouldn't do that. And what scares me is that even on our side, it has become, well, they did it first as an excuse. Well, they did it worse as an excuse. Well, they did it. Mm-hmm. I'll give her this. Sarah Huckabee Sanders, whatever her name is. Sarah. She didn't make a big deal about it. She just left. She didn't go to the Supreme Court and file a court case saying, they didn't serve me at the fair. She went and got something else to eat somewhere else. Because that's how you handle it. Guy doesn't want to bake you a cake, go to another baker. There's one that'll bake you. They won't give you flowers. There's another florist somewhere in town. Give them your business. Tell your friends about it. But instead, we got to have virtue signaling. We got to have screaming. We got to invoke the name of God. And at the end of the day, what do we got? A bunch of people who are just screaming and yelling. And assuming the worst case scenario is going to happen. They're assuming that tomorrow is going to be absolutely tragic unless they get their way. Remember the aluminum hat theory people? Oh, Jade Helm, we're all going to be in jail. And the only reason we're not is because they told us about it now. So they stopped the government from doing it because the government couldn't do it because we were talking about it. The only reason tomorrow wasn't bad is because we were screaming at Sarah Sanders. The only reason tomorrow isn't worse than we thought it was going to be is because we went to Jeff Sessions' house and banged drums. No, the reason tomorrow isn't as bad as you thought it was going to be is because you're a paranoid delusional. And you don't know anything about history, and you don't know anything about the past, and you don't know anything about human nature. And if you did, you wouldn't be worried about those things because it's not going to change that way. It never has, and it never will. Well, I guess he should never say never, because sure as shooting, somebody will do it. It's like the missile fizzle drills. We used to do these drills on a submarine where we would pretend that a missile blew up inside the tube, and that the blowing up of the missile, would burst open the tube doors inside upper-level missile compartment, and it would break the warhead and spread high explosives and plutonium all over the place. And we would have to clean it up. We would have to practice cleaning it up and decontaminating everything. And it was absurd. I mean, it was ridiculous. If a missile blew up in the tube, it's not going to blow up in that hatch. It's going to blow through the top and the bottom. It's going to sink the ship. This is impossible. It cannot happen, we used to say. And we argued about this for years, and we finally got the CEO to agree. Yeah, you're right. That drill scenario is probably not realistic. Let's try to work this drill so that it's a little more realistic. Fire in the tube is a realistic possibility. How do we handle that? During a missile move, when the hatches are open, we could drop a missile. You know, let's change this. And no sooner had we signed off on the training package, this is why I don't like to say never, no sooner had we signed that off and got it changed than that damn Russian submarine surfaced off Bermuda, having blown up a missile in the tube and survived. So I guess it is theoretically possible. Could be done. It's hard to believe, but they got it done. Impudence, that's the word I was looking for. Folks, I you know, at the end of the day, I don't have all the answers. I never did have all the answers. Even when I pretended to have all the answers, because that's what you do when you're a radio talk show host, you think you know everything. I didn't know the answers. I don't know them now. What I do know is that if we're going to put religion in this thing at all, we have to put all of it in. You got to take the entirety of the Torah, the entirety of the New Testament, or none of it. You can't pick and choose the parts you like. And both the Torah and the New Testament say the same thing. The highest commandment is treat other people the way you want to be treated. And if you're not doing that, nothing else you say matters. You can bitch and moan about Maxine Waters all you want. You can complain about the red hen all you want. You can complain about the baker all you want. If you're not doing that, then you got nothing to say. Period. And if you don't like it, well, take that up with God. Because he's the one that said it, not me. Onward and upward. Other things happening in the world today. I guess you see the story over the weekend about the Korean War pilot, Captain Harry Cecil Moore, was shot down in, he was shot down the first time in 1944 during World War II. 51 days, he walked through mountains, dodged gunfire, bombs, 16 hours a day. Survived on rice and dog meat. Discharged, returned to West Virginia, decided to re-enlist. In 1948, he married his longtime girlfriend, Lois Gehrger. They were in the Philippines. His daughter was born there in July 1950. Now, if you know a little bit of history, July 1950, the Korean War started on June 25th. And off went the good captain to war. A few weeks later, they were told that he had been killed in action, shot down and killed. But then later that day, they said, oops, sorry, different guy, wrong guy. It was another Captain Moore that got shot down and killed today. You're fine. Then he got sent to Korea. They went back to, his family went back to West Virginia. And in 1951, they got a telegram telling him that he had been shot down. Piloting a P-51 Mustang over the South China Sea, reporting as missing in action. 1953, December, they notified him that, notified her family that he was presumed dead and he was listed as killed in action. So by December, of course, the armistice had happened and exchange of prisoners and all that. She decided to move on with her life, moved to California, married Captain Moore's brother, Bob. There's a biblical story for you. And in 2002, she got a notice from the United States Air Force that it is possible that Captain Harry Seymour survived in a shoot-down incident and may have been, you ready for this? May have been interrogated by Soviet officials, Russians. After that, they don't know what happened to him. Moores were shocked. We thought, goodness gracious, there's still hope he could be alive. For 50 years, we had closure. It was all done. We couldn't do anything else. And that was that. And then in 2002, the whole thing changed. He may have been suffering for all that time in a Russian prison. And they were worried about whether he felt abandoned by his own country, and which was based on my experience in interviewing men who had been prisoners of war during Korea. That was a common thing. Anyway, they still don't know about this guy. They still don't know. They're pressuring the Russians to release information. They have strong evidence that some unaccounted for American POWs from the Korean conflict were transferred to the Soviet Union in the 1950s. And it's possible that they could still be alive. Wouldn't that be something? Wouldn't that be amazing? I don't know that the Russians ever actually could admit that. I really don't know that they could, because if they did, well, they should have done a lot a long time ago. 1993, witness claimed to have met an American named Gary or Harry in Camp 18 in Mordovia. Sometime in 1952, he was convinced that the inmate was shot down during the Korean War. They made wooden chess pieces together. Well, let's keep our fingers crossed. Maybe the Russians will come clean on that one and we'll see what will happen. I mean, after all, God's on our side, right? Surely God was on the side of Captain Moore and his family. We'll be back tomorrow. Coming up next, like I said, we got Tim Preuss. We'll be back tomorrow. The summertime thing is going to be a little bit more difficult, folks. Kids and grandkids are here, and I don't know how this is going to work, but we're going to keep trying to do that every day at 10 a.m. right here on the Podcast 99 Internet Radio Network. Got to get running. Take the time right now. Tell the people that matter in your life you love them very much. You would miss them if they weren't there, so don't pass up those opportunities. You don't want to have that regret. Plausibly Live, I'm Dave Bowman. This is my show, The Dave Bowman Show, on the Podcast 99 Internet Radio Network. Make sure you check out all the great shows we have for you at podcast99.org. Like a new Jay Brown show dropped over the weekend. And we're working on some other broadcast stuff as well that I think you'll really like. Just trying to iron out the last of the details to get that on there. Have a great rest of your Monday, everybody. And we will see you tomorrow, 10 a.m. sharp Pacific time, for a brand new episode of the Plausibly Live, The Dave Bowman Show. Have a great day.
Plausibly Live is a Slippery Fish Entertainment production for the Podcast 99 Network. To contact Dave directly, call or text area code 209-565-DAVE. That's 209-565-3283. The email address is dave@thedavebowmanshow.com. For more information or to hear past shows, go to www.plausiblylive.com.
Hey, I'm going to go do something productive. I'm going to go watch television.